You love me? Why? Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life. This is Key Life, getting you home with freedom, joy, and faithfulness. And here's Steve Brown with God's Roadmap, the Bible. Here's Steve with a teaching for today. Thanks, Mike. We're talking this week, and we're about a text that isn't generally thought of as a Christmas text. Now, on Monday, we're going to look at that Christmas text. Jenna Bingham is going to read it on the broadcast, sort of as our gift to you. And we produced it with music, and you're really going to like it. The little girl reading the Christmas story. But you expected, since we're looking at Christmas themes this week, that I would be looking at the Christmas story in Matthew or Luke. You don't find that in Mark, and you do find it in John, but in theological language, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And most preachers pick those texts, and most of the time I do too. But Christmas really is for children and adults who can be childlike, and that's biblical. Why? Matthew 18, 1 through 5. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little child, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me." Now, if you've been listening, we've seen a couple of things about being a child. And we've seen first that if you are a child, you understand the nature of a gift. No, I'm getting ahead of myself. I've got these notes. Here it is. First, just be cool. I'm doing the best I can. It's Christmas and I'm as busy as you are and everything's confusing. But I'll get there. Just give me time. First, we saw a child understands the wonder of a gift. A child can still say, you know what you do at Christmas bad to our children? Start to say, just you, but I've done it too. We give them too much. I mean, we inundate kids. And we take something that is essentially childlike away from children. We take away the wonder of the gift, the joy of receiving. Because they got so much stuff, they don't know what to turn to next. And it's hard not to do that, and I understand. But let's try not to do it so much in the future. And I'll try not to do it so much with my grandchildren. But at any rate, without all of that stuff around, when you give a kid a gift, they say, "Neato, that's wonderful," even if they don't know what it is. And that's what Jesus was talking about when he talked about that we must become a child. And secondly, at Christmas, a child understands. It's hard to get an adult to understand the incarnation because we've been socialized. We have been matured. But a little child really does understand about God coming. And then secondly, a child understands, we saw, not only the wonder of the gift, but a child understands the intent of the gift. The reason Jesus had children crawling all over him was because they trusted his love. It was not misplaced. Adults say, "You love me? Why do you love me? What's your angle? What do you want from me? What do I have to do if you love me? I mean, do I have to do a lot of stuff to keep you from quitting? I mean, what is this all about?" Child never does that. Child can understand and accept love in a wonderful way. That's why Jesus says, if you want to really see the kingdom, then you got to become like a little child. I'm going to give you a third point. A child understands not only the wonder and the intent of a gift, a child understands the nature of a gift. And you say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, a gift is a gift. I don't agree with this, but when I was a pastor, I had some people who didn't like, you had to reach out and accept Christ. They didn't like words like follow Christ. They didn't like words like you got to give your life to Christ. Now, they were wrong. I think those things are very adequate and wonderful ways to present the plan of salvation to those who don't know it. However, However, they made a point to me. They said, when you start talking about stuff you've got to do, then you change the essence of what this thing is all about, and it is a gift. A child understands that. And that's what Christmas is. And so I think the shepherds, and they're good friends of mine, said after it was all over, What did we do to deserve this? And God said, you didn't do anything. It's a gift. I think the wise men brought their gifts, thinking they could, you know, I don't know whether their motives were pure or what, but they got to see the Christ child. And they're good friends of mine. And I think later on when they were sitting around in the throne rooms that kings have, they were saying to themselves, what in the world did we do to deserve such a wonderful thing? And I think God said, nothing. You didn't do a thing. It's a gift. If you have to do something to get it, it's a reward. It's a gift. You know, one of the hardest things that I have to do, now if you've been listening to this broadcast very long, you know that I teach grace. The main thing that I do is that I tell God's people, now if you're a pagan, this doesn't apply to you. But if you're a Christian, let's say Christians, God's not angry at you. And he'll never be angry at you again. And the formal doctrine is the imputation of Christ's righteousness. That's hard. I mean, that's really hard to say in a way that people can understand. People get angry and upset, and they write bad letters because I said something like that. But God will never be angry at you again. And by the way, if you're not a believer and you happen to be flipping across the dial and you heard this old foghorn voice, don't you miss it. If you go to him on the basis of the cross, he won't be angry at you either. And listen, if you're not a believer, don't blow it this year. I mean, you're probably as close as you're going to ever get. And then after Christmas, there's so many, and this breaks my heart. Put away the Christmas gifts and the tinsel and undecorate the tree and put it out for the garbage guy to pick up. And they say, you know, there was something warm and fuzzy going on. There was something to that. I wonder what it was. If you're not a believer, don't miss it this year. This could be not only Christmas to be celebrated as a holiday, but your personal Christmas. It could be the time when you invite Christ, when you accept the gift that he offers. And do you know what you have to do for it? You don't have to do anything. Now, some of you Christians are saying, yeah, that's how you get saved. Uh-huh. Yeah. Amen. Preach it, brother. And then you're saying, but after you're a Christian, then it's the elbow grease and the work. You better be good. You better be pure. You better walk it. Because if you're not good and you're pure and you don't walk it, then God's going to stop loving you again. Listen, that's not true. It's a lie. It's from the pit of hell, and it smells like smoke. And the hardest thing we do on this broadcast, and I preach in churches and conferences all over America, I sometimes go to other countries. I spend my entire life in a theological seminary teaching students that the hardest thing to get anybody to understand is the idea of a gift. You didn't earn it, and you can't. You're not good enough. You don't have that much righteousness in you, and you never will have, so God had to give it to you. And it's a gift when he gives it to you. You've heard me quote probably a lot of time my late friend Jack Miller's comment, cheer up, you're a lot worse than you think you are. Cheer up, God's grace is a lot bigger than you think it is. And you're saying, you're encouraging sin, Steve, stop it. No, I'm not. I don't have to encourage it. You guys were done fine before I said anything. Let me tell you what I'm doing. I'm showing you the only way to obedience, the only way to loving the unlovely, the only way to walk the ways of Christ. I have trouble telling adult Christians that God isn't angry at them without getting adult Christians angry at me. I never have that trouble with a child. That's why Christmas is for children. Because, you see, they understand the nature of a gift is that it's, well, a gift. The nature of a gift is that it is a gift. It's free. It really is free. They're always saying, cheap grace, cheap grace. Listen, if it weren't cheap, you couldn't afford it. In fact, if it cost anything, you couldn't afford it, and I couldn't either. And it cost God a lot. Big time, the blood of his own son. But it doesn't cost you anything. Child understands the nature of a gift. We keep going other places. Let me read you something that's really good. It's by Trina Paulus. It's from a little book for adults called Hope for the Flowers, and it's a picture book. The story concerns a caterpillar by the name of Stripe, and the pictures and text of the book track Stripe, the caterpillar, from birth to butterfly. When Stripe is first born, he tries to decide what he's going to do with his life. And as he wanders around, he finds a pillar of caterpillars. And the pillar stretches up into the sky, and he looks closer. He finds the giant caterpillar is a place where caterpillars are climbing over one another to get to the top. Millions of caterpillars. Stripe decides that's a good way to get his life. And so he starts climbing. And this is the text. As he climbs, Stripe didn't just seem disciplined. To others, he seemed ruthless. Stripe didn't think he was ruthless. He was just a very good climber. He didn't think he was against anybody. He was just doing what he had to do if he was to get to the top. Don't blame me if you don't succeed, he said. It's a tough life. Just make up your mind. Then one day, he was near the goal at the top of the pillar. That was when Stripe heard a crawler above him saying, "None of us can get any higher without getting rid of them." Soon after that, he felt a tremendous pressure and a shaking of the pillar. And then came screams and falling bodies, and then silence. Lots more light and less weight above. Frustration surged through Stripe. But just as he was agreeing that this was the only way up, he heard a tiny whisper from the top. "There's nothing up here. There's nothing up here at all." It was answered by another voice. "Quiet, fool. They'll hear you down on the pillar. We're up here. That's what it's all about." Are you doing that? Don't. Just be still this Christmas. Accept the gift like a child and be glad. You think about that. Amen. Man, I have gone over and I'm about out of time, so I got to hurry. Listen, if you don't have the October, November, December magazine, I'll send it to you. It's absolutely free. I'm not going to offer it much longer. There's a lot of good stuff in here to get you and those you love home with freedom and joy and faithfulness to Christ as your crowning achievement. Give us a call, 1-800-KEY-LIFE, send it to you free, or write Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Lakeland, Florida, 32794, or write Key Life, Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3, or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address. It's free, but listen, man, I would be so pleased if you could help us financially. Be as generous as you can. And I'll send us my thank you, Grace, the Heart of the Incarnation. Gotta go. But before I go, I must say, Key Life is a production of Key Life Network.